The federal opposition is flagging tougher laws to manage land clearing in Queensland if it wins the next federal election. A draft decision by the federal government to approve the bulldozing of almost 2,000 hectares on Cape York has reignited tensions over the impact of deforestation on the Great Barrier Reef. The debate has been fueled by UNESCO's World Heritage Committee, which has routinely expressed concern about the way land clearing is affecting water quality on the reef. Yesterday, you will remember, we spoke with Coalition MP Warren Enns. He says there is no proof clearing land at Kingvale Station in Cape York would harm the reef.
There has been numerous studies done, state and federally, that say that that's not the case. Now, how many do you want to do before you eventually find some justification? And this is what the ACF do. But the reality is it's gone through these processes over so many years, and both state and federal have ticked it off and said, no, there's not an issue.
Warren Enns speaking with us from Cairns around this time yesterday morning. Mark Butler is the Shadow Minister for Climate Change. He joins us from Adelaide. Very good morning to you.
Good morning, Hamish.
The Federal Environment Department has attached a number of conditions to land clearing at Kingvale Station on Cape York. Are these conditions adequate in your view, enough to make this whole thing possible?
Well, we don't think they are. First of all, we think there should be an end to broad-scale land clearing of remnant vegetation in Queensland. And indeed, the Turnbull government signed up to that commitment as part of the Reef 2050 Sustainability Plan, which we provided to UNESCO. That was a really important part of ensuring that UNESCO did not put the Great Barrier Reef on the endangered list a few years ago. And yet the government, particularly through the National Party, both in the Queensland Parliament and as you heard from Warren Enns in the National Party, has resisted the Queensland government and Commonwealth being able to fulfil that commitment. So our position reflects the position that was adopted and I thought was a consensus 10 or 15 years ago, which is we've cleared about two-thirds of this continent. And at some stage, you just have to say enough is enough. This causes very significant greenhouse gas release. It devastates local biodiversity. And particularly up in Queensland, it's causing additional runoff onto an already deeply stressed Great Barrier Reef.
Can we just deal with the question at hand, though, which is this Kingvale Station scenario? I understand your broader position, you've made that clear, but the advice says that keeping a buffer of vegetation around waterways, maintaining 50% vegetation ground cover, building contours to manage water flows during the rainy season would provide adequate cover and ensure that there wasn't damaging runoff into the reef. Why is that not enough for you, given the reasons that you've just articulated?
Well, as I said, we don't think there should be the clearing of remnant vegetation, but if that's not accepted, then there are reports, including from the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority, about this particular project that demonstrate that particularly in the event of flooding, which happens a lot in that part of Australia, that it is almost guaranteed, to use the words of the authority, that there will be additional sediment entering the Princess Charlotte Bay, which is a particular haven for turtles and dugongs and which ends up running onto the reef. So I don't accept that analysis, but ultimately Josh Frydenberg is going to have to make a call here. I mean, is he going to back the Great Barrier Reef? Is he going to back the commitments that his government made to UNESCO and to the people of Queensland, whose economy depends greatly on the health of the Great Barrier Reef, or is he again going to give in to the bullying of the National Party MPs up there?
Okay, but if we're talking about what Josh Frydenberg has in front of him, he also has the information presented, the broader information presented by the department, which includes one of the reports found that the impact of erosion on the reef could be adequately controlled as long as clearing only occurred on flatter ground at Kingvale, a gradient of less than 2%. The department has accepted that. Why shouldn't Josh Frydenberg go along with that?
Well, as I said, our position is he shouldn't be going along with that because he made a commitment, his government made a commitment in the Reef 2050 Sustainability Plan that there would be an end to clearing remnant vegetation and high-value regrowth.
So he should ignore what is included in this report?
Well, the project should be knocked back on that basis alone. There's been an ongoing contest up in Queensland about whether that commitment should be able to be implemented. The Queensland Parliament has just agreed that it should, and we should return to the laws that were in place before Campbell Newman got elected that did put an end to broad-scale land clearing in Queensland. And instead, we've seen the LNP in Queensland and in New South Wales rip up that generation of environmental laws. I think the most significant reforms to environmental protection in my lifetime, all in the name, really, of the National Party being able to clear yet even more land.
Okay. But you are you're moving the argument elsewhere. I mean, you're saying, well, this government is committed to saving the reef. We've got a report that we know of that is in front of the minister saying that if you keep the clearing on flatter ground, a gradient of less than 2%, then it won't necessarily damage the reef. Why shouldn't the minister take that advice and say, okay, well, maybe in this instance it's okay? I mean, you're sort of creating different arguments for him depending on where the evidence lies.
Well, I'm not creating them. He signed up to the sustainability plan that said that there would be an end to broad-scale land clearing in Queensland. I mean, that was central to the Queensland and Commonwealth government's plan about how we would ensure as far as possible the health of the Great Barrier Reef, the most important environmental icon that Australia has guardianship over. Now, if you don't accept that, then I still think that this particular project poses risks that are unacceptable to the reef. I mean, that's reflected in the report of the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority and other experts that were commissioned to look at this project.
Warren Entsch, pretty fired up about this issue when we spoke to him yesterday. He once owned the Olive Vale property on Cape York. He says it's not old growth forests being cut down. He says much of it is regrowth. He was pretty descriptive in the way he put that to us. 57% in fact, of grasslands have been lost in the area. It's obviously valuable agricultural land. Is it not possible to find a way to both save the reef but also ensure that the agricultural sector in Queensland can do some of what it says it needs to do?
Well, the question of regrowth being protected is ultimately a question of definition. I mean, the protections that were put in place were for high-value regrowth that had once been cleared but allowed to regrow for 20 years in critically important areas. Now, if it's in that category, we say it should be protected. If it's not, then it may be open for some further clearing. But two-thirds of the continent have been cleared over the last 200 years. At some stage, for reasons of climate change and for reasons of local biodiversity, including the Great Barrier Reef, you just have to say enough is enough. And that's what we did in New South Wales and Queensland in the first decade of this century. And it was the only reason why we could achieve the Kyoto Protocol commitments. And it was a very significant benefit to local biodiversity. And at the same time, agricultural productivity in Queensland continued to rise. Now, the Turnbull government and the local Queensland governments both committed to reinstate those important protections that were put in place last decade as part of their Reef 2050 plan. And it's time now for Josh Frydenberg and Malcolm Turnbull to front up and deliver on that commitment.
The federal government does have the power under the Environmental Protection and Biodiversity Act to prosecute land clearing breaches near reef catchments. Have there been any convictions or even investigations that you know of under these laws?
Well, I'm certainly not aware of any convictions.
So do you think those laws need to be beefed up?
Well, I mean, I think there is a broader question about the application of these laws. That's a debate that we're having within the Labor Party about whether these laws really do need a bit of an update and the consideration of independent authorities. That debate will continue within the Labor Party.
But would you like to see them beefed up is the question?
Well, I think it's an important debate we're having within the Labor Party. We'll have
that's
it.
Fine. I'm interested in your point of view on this. Would you like to see them beefed up?
Well, certainly we took to the last election an intention to conduct a very significant review of our environmental protection laws at the national level. But that's a debate we're still having and we'll have at our national conference in July. It's not a debate that's been concluded. But I do come back to the point that in relation to broad-scale land clearing in Queensland, this should not be a question. This should not be a question because the federal government has committed in the Reef 2050 plan to returning to the position we had before Campbell Newman got elected and tore up all of Queensland's environmental protection laws. And there should be a general ban against clearing any more remnant vegetation in Queensland.
All right, we'll move on from that. You've made that point a few times. Gas emissions, we have the latest data on greenhouse gas emissions. They show that our climate pollution increases 1.5% in 2017. LNG exports, waste, agriculture, transport, all contributing to the rise. The exception was electricity, though. Does this mean that we can't really expect a national energy guarantee for the electricity sector to do all of the heavy lifting when it comes to meeting our Paris targets on reductions?
Well, I think that's right. I mean, these data, unfortunately, should be no surprise. There's now a locked-in trend that we've seen for the last 3 years under Malcolm Turnbull's leadership of emissions rising in pretty much every sector of the economy. And that should come as no surprise because the policy position, the suite of policies the government has in place, does nothing to control, let alone reduce emissions in any sector of the economy. Now, we've seen a reduction, which is welcome, in the electricity sector through the closure of the Hazelwood Power Station, a one-off reduction in the, I guess, the size of the brown coal generation part of the sector, and a burst of investment in renewable energy to discharge the renewable energy target. But both of those events have been resisted by the government.
So you can look at these two trends going down and then up and sort of align that with when Australia did have a carbon tax and when it didn't. Would you say then that Australia needs a carbon tax in order to point that trend downwards?
Well, no, it needs a suite of policies in different sectors of the economy that cap, that start to control emissions and then drive them down. You need, in the energy sector, not just a policy to 2020 that will drive renewable energy investment, but a policy that will drive that investment beyond 2020. The current National Energy Guarantee policy that Malcolm Turnbull has before the country would see not one single new renewable energy project of a large scale built in Australia for 10 years. That means emissions are going to start flatlining again in that sector. In areas like LNG and other big manufacturing plants that produce a lot of pollution, carbon pollution, there needs to be a policy that caps those emissions and starts to reduce them. You don't have that under Malcolm Turnbull.
Mark Butler, we will have to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Hamish.
Mark Butler, the Shadow Minister for Climate Change and Energy.